This is episode one of Off-Road Independence. This podcast is brought to you by beginnersfab.com, the site that teaches you how to make useful, interesting, and creative things with basic tools. Think you don't have the fabrication tools necessary to make what you need? Think again. beginnersfab.com. This is Off-Road Independence, the podcast that talks about trail repair, vehicle modification, and gear selection, helping you become more independent in your off-road adventures. Hey everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Off-Road Independence. I'm Eric McGrew and I'm your host of the show. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of what I've had to experience in the past and why I think the way I do about fixing your vehicles and off-roading and those kind of general topics. It's really interesting because as probably most of the listeners to this podcast. I grew up personally in the U.S. I hope some of you are from other places in the world and things like that. But I grew up with a particular mindset, a way of thinking about how to do things, and even something as creative as out there as off-roading sometimes can become very, very fixated on what is right and what is wrong as far as how to make repairs and that kind of stuff. And I gotta say, I moved to Chile and My world was just flipped upside down because I got there and nobody did anything like what was quote unquote supposed to be done. Now, I don't want to make a general statement or a blanket statement or a stereotype or anything like that, because I'm not trying to put Chileans down by any means. They're super creative and things like that. Due to the culture, a lot of times they do it because, hey, this is what I've got laying here beside me, and this is what I've got laying here beside me. So if I've got these two things laying here beside me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it work. And they do. I mean, they put all kinds of crazy stuff in cars down there, and especially the off-road vehicles, man. It's just insane. And I know that, like, up north in Chile, in the Atacama Desert, there's a lot of guys running Vitaras, and probably the two most popular off-road vehicles you'll find will be a Vitara or a Toyota Land Cruiser. You know, those are going to be your two most common things to see running around in Chile in general for off-roading. What's interesting, though, is that I can't tell you how many Vitaras have V8s in them down there. I mean, they love gas-powered V8s because of the power, and they put superchargers and turbos and stuff on them. And, I mean, remember, a Vitara and a Samurai, they're not real big vehicles. Now, granted, there are a lot of, like, Toyota Hiluxes, which are a little bit beefier and a little bit more basic form of the Tacoma. At least the old ones. The new ones are a little bit closer to, like, the Tundras or whatnot. Those, a lot of those are diesel, and they love those things as well. And also, there's just a lot of just makeshift work down there. Not bad work in particular, but just using what they've got. So what happened with me is I kind of have changed my mind on how to do things sometimes. I still want my stuff to be good quality. At least I want it to be strong and look the best that it can. I've gotten to where if it's not perfect, I just don't care that much. And the reason is, especially with off-road vehicles, you know, it's great to have a really, really nice looking clean rig and all this. And if you have the skills to weld and, you know, you're like a really, really refined welder, you have that talent, that's great. If you want to show off your talent, that's fine. I get it. But, you know, one thing that I've noticed over the years, and one of the reasons that I started another site of mine, which is called beginnersfab.blogspot.com, is because I see so many times online people being discouraged because they don't have any experience. And, you know, it's kind of frustrating to me because I've read online so many times on forums and stuff, somebody asking about getting started in fabricating, and people are like, oh, you got to have a MIG, you got to have a TIG, you got to know how to TIG. And then it's not just having a MIG, it's like having the best quality MIG. And then people get discouraged because nobody really wants to tell them that, you know what, with a stick welder for $100, you can make bumpers, you can make rock sliders. It's hard to learn how to stick weld, I'm not going to lie. But with the limited time that I have stick welding, I've learned to do a lot of stuff. And I'm getting better, and it's strong. I mean, I've made all kinds of stuff. Bumpers and rock sliders and, you know, tow hooks. I've built a trailer for a farm. I mean, it's getting like heavy, heavy use. And granted, some of the welds are kind of ugly, but they hold well. And I mean, that thing has been put through the ringer, and it's working. So, you know, I have three basic tools. I'm using a angle grinder that cost me, I think, $30. I think it's a Black & Decker. I'm using a drill, same thing, Black & Decker. Don't have any bench drills, don't have any drill presses, don't have any chop saws, nothing. I have to do it all by hand. And plus, on top of all of that, I'm doing all this on a rickety old table outside my house in the rain most of the time. I know, not too smart, but I am welding in the rain sometimes, and that's just how it is where I live. Now, why do I bring all this up? Well, because over the years, I've also found that repairs on vehicles don't have to be quite as complicated as I thought. And I don't know if you guys are with me, but I used to think, you know what, if I went into a parts store and they didn't have, if I said, you know what, I've got an Isuzu Trooper, and they said, I don't have that piece, I kind of gave up. I was like, okay, well, I got to go to another store and ask them, and if they don't have it, well, what do I do? But down there, they do everything not by car brand. In fact, if you walk into most of the small auto parts stores, they'll just kind of laugh at you if you say a car brand. What they want is you have to bring in a sample. So if you need a bearing, you have to bring in a sample. And then they measure the inside bore for the bolt. They measure the outside diameter. And if you can bring in what that bearing goes into, even better. This is just an example, and I'll give you a prime example of why this has worked out so well, or why this is so important. I was looking around for a long time for some rear bushings for the trailing arms on my Daihatsu F73 four-track, and as I've mentioned before, that vehicle has had a number of problems that I've had to repair, and it's not that it's a bad vehicle, it's that from the factory, it was kind of weak in the rear links. And well, there's a number of aspects about it that are just kind of weak. And so the bushings started to wear out because I had put a different set of springs on the back and lifted about 2 inches. Well, as those rubber bushings started wearing out, the problem became I had to get new bushings in there for it to pass what they have, what they call in Chile is a technical revision. So they go in, if anything's sloppy on the suspension, if it rattles or whatever, the machine says it's out of balance or whatnot, and you can't use it. You have to get that fixed before they'll let you drive it on the road. So I was like, man, what am I going to do? And, you know, I kind of got disheartened by it. I was really kind of frustrated. And I asked a friend of mine who's a mechanic, he's dealt with a lot of this stuff, and he says, you know what, let's go see what they've got. So we go in, we walk into a parts store down there that deals mainly with rubber bushings and hoses and that kind of stuff. And he says, okay, this is the bushing that I've got, this is the link it goes into, I need a bushing that matches this. And they didn't have one. And I got kind of frustrated because I was like, you know what, this car isn't supported here. We're never, ever going to find this bushing. But then he starts looking around and he takes out the caliper and he starts measuring again just to make sure that we've gotten, you know, we've gone over everything. And it turns out that one of the Toyota Hilux, what was it? It was a leaf spring bushing or something like that. Actually fit really close to what I needed for my rear link. So We bought four of them. We put them in, and they wore out 6 months later, which led to me doing a complete overhaul on the rear suspension and me converting it to a three-link, which had its own problems. But it led to me doing some, trying something that in my mind would have never, ever, ever worked. But yet it did. I mean, it was such a simple fix, and it cost me like $6 at the time. Now, granted, knowing that I was going to continue the same kind of trails, the same kind of roads, and all that kind of stuff, I knew that keeping those bushings that were wearing out every 6 months, whatever, wasn't going to work, so I was going to have to change that, and I did. I designed a three-link that I put into it, and that's what I'm running in that truck now. In fact, that's what I'm rebuilding here slowly but surely through beginnersfab.blogspot.com. It really opened my eyes at that moment. I was like, man, I don't have to be limited by what a computer says about this car or that car. And since then, due to that same Daihatsu, also due to my Trooper down there, because Troopers aren't heavily supported either, didn't know that when I bought it, I found that there are a lot of interchangeable parts from one vehicle to another that can be slightly adapted or whatnot, or, you know, that in a pinch, you can do a lot of work really, really easily and make it work for the moment. So, you know, that's kind of one of the ideas that I want to really promote with this podcast is, you know, it's amazing what you can get away with when you just have simple tools with you, and what you can get away with if you have your mind set on not doing it the way that you have to, but the way that's necessary to get the job done. And we'll continue to go on into some of these other aspects that we get into on the trails and in repairs in my vehicle. And I have a ton of stories from living out there in Chile. And that's really important to me because, you know, more than a specific way of fixing something, which I hope to get into in certain cases as well, I'm really into the principles of how to get around things, how to make things work when needed. Now, granted, I'm also a stickler for it being right. So once I'm done and I'm back at home and I have time to research and I have time to buy the part that I really need if I can, I'd rather have that done. I know that a lot of times out in the middle of the woods, at least for me, there's no cell service. There's none of my friends around. And I have to go out a lot with my wife in our Jeep to go to different places and see different things and stuff like that. So I have to deal with it in the moment. And that's what I'm trying to help expand for you guys too. And I know a lot of you guys out there on the trails have had these experiences. So please write in. Let me know what you found. And I'd really, really like to be able to have some of this stuff included in my podcast. And once again, as we continue to go on, I'll have some interviews with some other people and that kind of stuff as well.
You can hit us up at our email over at ericmcgrew.tv. That's ericmcgrew.tv, and the email is eric@ericmcgrew.tv. We hope to hear from you. Like to hear what kind of projects and stuff you've got going on, your stories as well. And never forget, I may just hit you up and ask you for an interview. So until next time, be safe and have fun out there in your rigs.